Welcome to the Saturday set. It is Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day 2025. What a time to be alive, King Zone.
It is. It's really heating up now. I've had a winning week. I'm ready to rip right into these bookies on Saturday.
Viz, welcome in, mate.
Cheers, boys. Yeah, it's been a great week in here. Hopefully we can continue on today and then into Saturday.
Very good. Let's start with what you believe is the race of the spring so far. It is the Turnbull Stakes at Flemington a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to pick it up with Antino trying to truck up to Adelaide River and go to the lead. Now, you said Antino was caught wide well before they got into the Flemington straight.
Yes.
Of course, you got Via Sestina and the famous Yulong Green coming in. But Sir Dilius, just the dominant performance at Wade Frager the spring, really, wasn't it? Unfortunately,
yeah,
he's not
there
on Saturday. Yeah,
pity he's not in the cup. But, yeah, Antino was three wide, no cover. Blake Shin went round and sat on pace three wide. It was a huge run from Antino in this race, considering what he had to do mid-race and the pace that he put into the race as well. But, yeah, it's a shame the Sir Dilius isn't in the race, but let's deal with what we have in front of us here. And there's the marketer.
So Globe has just come out. Breaking news this morning, Globe has come out. So it slightly affects everything, shortened up just ever so slightly. And the big thing is it takes out the leader, right? Globe would have led, Fizz?
Sure would have, yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, and Globe, yeah, we saw those races. We saw Mr. Brightside lead. We saw Globe lead. What was the other one, Fizz, that led the whole way? Not Treasure the Moment. There was another leader in that in the small fields.
Oh, Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
Pride of Jenny.
Yeah, so we've seen a few small fields where horses just gone to the front and led. So everybody's going to look at this race and say, oh, where's the pace? There's no pace in this race. But no pace races are extremely interesting and they're very hard from a form perspective to try and work out. And the reason I'm not talking about a slow pace. I'm talking about like races with no pace are really hard because horses are often ridden upside down. My Nostradamus prediction in this race is it's not going to be a slow pace.
Okay.
And the reason that I say that is because there is no pace. But I think there is pace in two horses and the roughies. Light Infantry Man.
Yep.
Went over to WA, won the Northerly. By going forward, sat second, change of tactics, went forward. There's no way if you own Light Infantry Man, you're not going to say, let's just go to the front here and lead. The other horse is the one above it, number three, Attrition.
Okay.
Second to Lindemann last time, change of tactics, went forward, sat second, ran better, ran second. Those two horses, if I owned them, I would want to lead on them. I'd want to go pretty hard and I'd just want to try and steal the Cox Plate. And we've seen it being done as well. I think both those horses at that price or whatever you're going to get, 50s or 33s, worth having something on them. Just for that one reason. Fitz, what do you make of the map?
I didn't know Globe was coming out until we got in here.
Yeah, so that was announced this morning.
This race has really got me stumped. I don't know what to make of everything because of the lack of pace. So we've seen all these horses, Via, Treasure the Moment, Buckaroo, all come unstuck this preparation on the basis that they're running behind
off maps.
All off maps, and there's no tempo for them. And V is the prime example of a horse that hasn't won when there's been no tempo. I mean, if there's no tempo, I'm leaning away from Via Sestina. I know that it's its grand final, but I think Antino is the horse that I think is the one in this race. I just think its runs have actually been better than Via its last couple, and for me, Antino's the one to beat. Via Sestina, it's its grand final. We know what we get with Via on her day, and she's a fair freak. But, I just think Antino put the writing on the wall last start, and Via was a bit disappointing. I know it was off a slow speed, but James McDonald gave it a cracking ride last start, like it was a 10 out of 10 ride, and didn't let down at all that horse. I don't know what they'll do with Treasure in the Moment. Little bit in the same boat as Via in that small field, being stuck behind Pride of Jenny, and then was it behind Globe then the next start?
Yep.
And then so it's had two races with small fields where there's been no tempo, and I don't know what will happen here, but surely Treasure of the Moment sits third.
Big go, $10 into $5.50.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, she could lead, couldn't she, Barrier 1?
She could absolutely.
Would have her leading. I think my automated map had her leading.
I'd be mad not to. Why wouldn't you go to the front and then dictate? I just think if there is no tempo and if you're wrong – and you think Attrition and Light Infantry Man to go forward and put on tempo, but if you're wrong and they just crawl in front, they're mad not going to the front on Treasure at the Moment because it's better horse than those two.
And interesting. If she led Globe last time, you reckon she would have beaten Globe?
I don't know because the way it was so run so muddly, Globe went out yep. loafed and then just stacked them up. Mm. And then when Globe
three
went,
lengths on them. That was just, amazing. Yeah, thing,
when,
yeah.
when Globe went, the others just couldn't sprint. It's mm. just not suitable for no. some of these horses. But anyway, that's my assessment of the race. Antino's my top pick. I'd love him to see go to the front in Treasure of the Moment. I'm not betting in this race because of the lack of tempo.
Fair enough. When you look at this market, Antino $4 and Via Sistina $2.15 after the
Globe come out.
Yeah, after the replay we just saw, it's there's a big discrepancy there, but sort of between the two. Like Antino had a much harder run,
yeah,
and beat Via Sistina home. Now it's $4 and Via Sistina's $2.15. That just shows you the respect that the bookies and the market has for that 116 sure. rating that Via Sistina did last in last year's Cox Plate.
Yep.
What I think of this race, apart from the two roughies, which I could spec at long odds, it's a no-bet race for me. But what I do think, I can't see – I think Via Sistina will improve a lot. I think Via Sistina will win, and I think the only other hope's Antino.
Yeah.
But – I think Via Sistina has been set for this race. I think Via Sistina, if you don't overcomplicate things, pick the best lead-up race, which is the Turnbull.
Yep.
Best two runs out of the Turnbull, apart from the winner, Via Sistina and Antino.
Oh, I disagree. I think Aliana's run was better than Via Sistina's.
Do you? Yeah. I thought they came to the same spot in Via Sistina. I can't see Aliana beating Via Sistina from the last two runs.
If you're saying that and you're looking back at that race – and you look back, I disagree. I think Aliana's run was better than Via's. Via had every possible peeled but off the
didn't
fence.
Aliana have every possible as well?
Aliana got chopped out by Via in the straight. I was watching it this morning.
Only because she couldn't sprint fast enough though.
Maybe, but she still hit the line better than him. Sorry, better than her.
Fair enough. I think either Via Sistina or Antino will win. Treasure the Moment for me. Their only hope's once again to go to the lead and just hope she keeps going. She just hasn't last two runs. She's just not the same horse she was after the first up win. And Aliana, she's just not going good enough for mine to beat either of the top two home. So I'm Via Sistina, who I do think will drift in the market from Antino. No bet race for me.
Very good. Let's move to the Vars, the lead up to the Victorian Derby. We're going to have a look at a couple of replays here because we've got some clashing form lines coming together. And we're going to start with options in the Superimpose at Flemington a few weeks back. So there's options in that beautiful royal blue Godolphin colours. Rounds them up and is a pretty impressive win. But when he goes on to Saturday, he's going to meet a tougher field. And his stable mate, who we're going to bring up in a second as well, Observer, is the dominant favourite. So we see options go to line and just get the job done. Let's quickly bring up Observer in the Caulfield Guineas. So Observer is on the rail there, just behind the West of Swindon. You've got Hillier trying to truck up. Of course, Autumn Boy gets the heavens open for Autumn Boy and he goes bang crash. But look at Observer, just cannot get clear running. Still can't get clear running. Then has to go over heels right here and really finishes off. Question for both of you. If Observer didn't get the checkered run it did, would it have beaten Autumn Boy?
I say maybe. It's a very hard one. I say neck and neck.
Because Autumn Boy,
that's my opinion. Kings might think otherwise.
Anyway, so that's we've seen the first two in the market. There is the market. Away you go.
Yeah, I'd say you would have got beat ahead, but who knows? Like, there's nothing. There's a huge run.
Yeah.
What a prospect he is, Observer. Mm. So this is first. I want to talk about scratchings in this race because I'm trying to get my head around what's running and what's not running, and it's extremely important because on paper there's a lot of early pace in this race. One of which is obviously Observer, and the other horse options will get back. So I just want to know what's in and what's out.
Here we go. This is what's so hard about punting these days because these horses are running today, and there's five of them, and surely they're not backing up Saturday if they
can't
run today.
Possibly. So impossible.
Such a frustration for the punter, and it's very hard. But High Vol, Matsuda, Akora, Zorb, and Savinista are all running today. So there's five horses going to come out of this market.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it makes it very hard, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's really tough. It's you're trying to do form for races, and I know it's Thursday, and they'll say, oh, maybe they get scratched at the gate, and they've got a little backup plan, but that's not what we should be doing. That's, you know, they should have made their decision. They're running today out of Saturday's race.
I guess the problem too is they're worried that if Geelong got called off again or something like that, then maybe they can't put them back in.
Maybe.
I know, but I'm on your side.
I don't know. It's very hard.
Who's going first?
I'll go. So Observer, I think will more than likely lead this race. So Observer's going to 2000, for the first time over 1600 meters. What a great run in the Caulfield Guineas. I think there's two hopes. I think Observer from Options. I think Options was a great run that we just saw coming off a slow tempo. He's got two 1800 runs under his belt. So he's a little bit more suited to the – well, we know that he can sort of run the 2000. We don't know what Observer looks sure. like he can run the 2000.
Yep.
But it's different when you get sort of
and the valley
when it's done. Can yeah. you sprint it? And the valley. And the thing about this race is there's a lot of pace in this race as well. There's about four horses that are going to go forward. I don't know what I'm going to do on this race yet because I just don't know the race shape and what's going to happen. But what I will say is I think there's two hopes regardless, the one and the three. At the moment, I'm leaning towards the three because the pace of Options will drop back and be running on.
Fizz, what do you got to add, mate?
Yeah, I didn't see the speed that King's saw as much as what he saw. I think Observer will lead on its ear and go to the front. I think Zara will ride it a treat. I think it'll skip clear and no one will go near it. It's an official Saturday set tip.
Whoa,
that song.
I did want to back it this morning, but then I looked at the five scratchings I was going to have to deal with and so I haven't backed it yet.
Deductions in Victoria are very fair. Remember that.
They are you're fair, often, but what am I going to get?
Punter-friendly deductions.
What am I going to get once they take them all out? I didn't.
You're going to probably get money by the sound of it.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I didn't love the run of Providence. I thought that it might have just been a James McDonald Waller factor that why it's 850. I didn't see it hit the line at all in Sydney. So
that's the Shangri-La boy for spring championship.
Didn't love its run in that. So
we're going to watch that soon.
Look, I might just go out of here and take the 205 and
knock it
and
over.
Kings have said fair deductions.
All right, let's move along. We're going to go to the McEwen Stakes. I'm excited about this race. It's a sprint race, Group 2. Remember, Imperatures won this.
It used to be the Friday night, the McEwen, didn't it?
Oh, it's all over the shop, the different races and stuff. Okay. So let's go and look at Tropicus in the Scalacci. We're all over this, Kings, don't you remember?
Yeah.
There it is going, trucking up to the lead there in that light blue colours. And then Giga Kick says, you know what? I'm ready to get back to my best and just absolutely smokes everyone. There's Neon's popping off the fence and finishes quite well. Let's watch him go through the line. King Zone, are we buttering up to Tropicus again? Of course, the Manicato winner, Charmstone, is in this race and is the dominant favourite. Here's the market. Over to you.
Yeah, well, that's the horse that I want to talk about first is Charmstone, who won the Manicato on the Friday night.
Yep.
It was quite
hard. Very impressively.
It did win it very impressively and ran its highest rating by far. But it was a Friday night Moonee Valley meeting, quite leaderish. Drew Barrier 3, got the nice suck run, third fence, peeled out, the heavens open, went bang. This is a completely different race because you've drawn now Barrier 9, and I love these scenarios. I love these scenarios. Barrier 9, with more pace in the race, is going to have to go back from Barrier 9. Blake Shin's going to have to take a sit on Charmstone and come round them. So completely different race. The market looks at the ratings. Charmstone has by far the best rating because it had the best run. So that's why it's gone up favourite. Mm. I think it's very short. I'm happy to bet around it. What do you think of Charmstone, Fizz?
I think you've picked the eyes out of it very well. Maps poorly, unlike last start in the Manicato, where it had the best run of all time. Can see the bookies taking this one on Saturday.
Yeah, I can see it drifting quite heavily, especially if it's leaderish. Tropicus, so there's a fair bit of pace in this race, which you'd expect. Jigsaw, Regal Zeus, Tropicus and Bridal Waltz. So Tropicus is drawn a little bit tricky there in 8. I do think Tropicus will get across, but we'll have to burn up a bit of petrol to do that. I'm not backing Tropicus. I'm not really heavily against Tropicus either. Neonce, I just don't think he's going well enough.
Okay.
Neonce is... been disappointing. I've been on a couple of starts and just been disappointing. I can see all those three favourites getting beat.
Wow.
So where's the value? I think the value's in the bottom two. Bridal Waltz, who will go forward, coming from a different form line, ran second down the straight last time in the Gil Guy, 1,200 metres at Flemington. I think it gets a nice on-pace run from Barrier 5, just probably maybe behind the first two. The other one who I think's value is Vestas.
Yep.
Massive run first up, third in a Group 3 at Caulfield after getting – it was on a leader's track, made up ground, flushed home, leader's track against the bias. Barrier 4, if Vestas gets a split, it's going to be hard to beat. Not a race that I'm really sinking my teeth into at all, but just from a pure overlay perspective.
Nice prices.
I think, 8 and 9 are the ones to be on.
Anything more to add, Fizz?
Yeah, I'm leaning the same way as King, 8 is the horse to beat for me. I think it'll sit just – I think they use their brains. So I think Luke Nolan will sit just behind the speed horses, even though it's one of the pace horses. I reckon they'll take the sit from a good gate.
Yep.
And I liked its run down the straight. You've got to remember it was behind War Machine. War Machine ran all right just then in the Everest.
Yes.
I'm worried about Tropicus 1200 metres and the tempo in this race. Charmstone, we've talked about the tricky draw. I do have it top pick-off ratings, but like King said, that rating was high out of the Manicato, which brings it into this, and it always peaks its rating. And I'm more than happy to stay out of it. I thought each way at $8.50 bridle waltz, if you want to have a bet. I couldn't really steer you in anything else. The only thing I'll say is Neonce, I think, is better outside horses, not inside horses.
Okay.
And I think Neonce has been caught on the inside a couple of times. Did get a little bit blocked for a run last start. I know it didn't hammer the line when it got out, but drawn in seven and probably getting a nice run midfield, Neonce will run a better race this weekend.
Okay. Great point. Yeah, great point about Neonce. You can see that if they're going to go hard, it could sort of come around and slingshot. You don't think Tropicus gets a strong 1,200?
Not 100% sure off our last start where I thought it was fair enough, 1,100. I prefer it over a little bit shorter, but, you know, the trainers know better than
that. Well, that's sort of more reason to be against Tropicus, I guess, if they're going to go hard early, which they definitely will in this race.
Yeah, there looks a lot.
You want to be a strong 1,200-metre horse to win this.
Yep.
Sweet. That's the three feature races from the Valley done. Don't forget, there is the Moonee Valley Gold Cup meeting on Friday night. I think, Fizz, you've actually got a Saturday set tip in the Moonee Valley Friday night.
I do. There'll be a lot of people ahhing because I have declared that I don't bet on Friday nights or night racing.
You found one though.
I couldn't help it. I was looking at something Friday night. I don't know why. And then I had a look and then I spotted one and just went, wow, I've got to be on that horse. So we'll see what happens. I'll tell everyone about it after.
Yeah, so there's eight races on Friday night as well, including the $750,000 Gold Cup. Then we get into Cox Plate Day. But on Saturday, there's also Group 1 racing at Randwick, and we're going to look at the Spring Champion Stakes. We've got to look at a couple horses here again. Shangri-La Boy, the little brother of Storm Boy. So we're going to go and look at him. This is in the gloaming at Rosehill. In Waterhouse Bot fashion, you just let him up and kicked away. There's Providence trucking up on the fence. Fizz, you said you weren't that keen on it, but Shangri-La Boy, way too good.
Providence, no, I think Providence is the one, number five, whacking away in the middle. It's not coming up the fence.
Second, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking about this morning, so remember there was so much hype around Storm Boy, and he never won a Group 1, and wouldn't it be amazing if his little brother comes along and wins a Group 1 at his fourth start. So we're going to move on. We're going to go and look at Attica, and this is the Dulcify at Randwick back on Epsom Day. You were impressed by this, Fizz, weren't you? So this is Attica dropping on them and goes on with it. Pretty weak field behind him, but Shangri-La Boy and Attica are the favourites for the Group 1 Spring Champion Stakes. Let's bring the market up and have a chat.
I will ask Kings one thing. That Shangri-La Boys race, Kings, how hard they go in front, do we know? Did you have a look at the section? If it was a fast run race.
I didn't write it down.
I didn't either. So it just would have been interesting to see whether or not it got away with a lot of.
But it is the highest rating race out of that's all I've written down, yeah. I think they went at a fair tempo.
Okay.
Average to above average.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, but it is the highest.
Right, well, I looked into this race. I'll go first. I quite like this race. I just like looking into it a little bit. I guess the young horse is stepping up in distance. Not normally my go, but I did watch all the replays and had a look. So firstly, you got Within the Law, right? It comes out top pick-off ratings. It comes out of the race against the proper racehorses in Australia, right? Wasn't disgraced in that race and has a genuine hope. But 2,000 metres is a big, big question mark. And is this race an afterthought? And we've talked about afterthoughts. I'm not sure this was its number one goal.
I reckon they really want it to win a Group 1 race.
And they're just going to throw it in. And fair enough, but
good on them, but
at $5, I don't know about it. I just don't think this was a perfect setup for Within the Law and might be asking too much of a young horse, but we'll find out on Saturday, especially from the gate 15. So I'm looking at the two races that we're talking about, Shangri-La Boy and Attica's races. Now, Attica probably came out of the weaker race of the two. And Shangri-La Boy it mapped with favours over Attica in this race. Like Attica's going to go back. Attica's drawn wide. I thought there was a sneaky run in Attica's race. And at 20 to 1, I couldn't help myself but have something on this morning. And it is a horse called Federalist.
Okay, this not horse, on the page.
No. Okay. Ladbrokes are betting $23 and leading the race. Federalist got poleaxed by Attica coming around the bend, picked itself up and stormed home after it. It was a very, very big run. And if you like Attica's run, you've got to have something on this horse. That's my opinion. This race isn't a huge betting race, but I did back Federalist this morning each way. I thought at $23.550, I couldn't help myself when I was watching those run. I say they look like there's a bit more speed in this race from what I saw. You've got Crusader Voyage King. Did you have it up in your speed? And Champagne Hero.
Yeah, there's
those
a bit,
two
there's,
runners
yeah,
going forward.
Yeah, I no, I had 2, 7, 10, 13. I put going. Yeah, Champagne.
Yeah, it's 7 and 10. So yep. I had them. So anyway, She's a Diva hit the line nicely. Number 14 in the gloaming behind Shangri-La Boy. So if you're looking for something, it looked like it would appreciate the extra 200 metres. I've had something each way on Federalist, and that's the end of my speech.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'll talk about this race. And there's two interesting things I want to say about this race. The first thing is it's a 2,000-metre race at Randwick, and it's on a start, is on a bend, and it's very hard to be drawn wide unless you're going to get across and you're going to usually be on pace. Otherwise, you have to drop back. I'm fearful of within the laws barrier here, barrier 15, where within the law is going to end up, because we've mentioned four horses that are going to go forward. Within the laws push forward a little bit. I just fear for where it's going to get. Attica's going to have to drop right back, mm-hmm. whereas Shangri-La Boy, who's drawn barrier 2, is going to get that beautiful, that's probably, I don't know, that could be a four-length difference
right.
of Shangri-La Boy's barrier and where he's going to sit compared to within the law. And also Attica.
Mm.
And when I say four-length difference, I mean in the result, not in where they're going to actually be in the run. So I favour inside barriers. The second thing I want to say about this race is that it's from a form perspective, it's very these races are very hard. So they're all lightly raced and they're all going to 2,000 metres for the first time. So those races like Derbies and Oaks and this sort of race, a few of them have obviously raced at 1,800. But there's big question marks, and it's hard to know with these young horses whether they're going to get the distance or not. I think, as I said, Shangri-La Boy gets all the favours for me. Probably the only horse I could be on, but 350 going from 1,800 and on pace with more pressure to 2,000, I'm not really that excited about the price. Wouldn't surprise me once again if all three favourites get done and a roughie wins this race. Okay. If I was betting, I'd be suggesting to look outside of the three favourites.
Very good. We're doing a mates mode pot again this weekend. I think there's 60,000 in the pool, Kingzo.
60?
Not bad when you're only buying for $50.
I've got a couple to get right into, yeah.
Good, yeah. So there it is up on the screen there. If you want to get involved, you can scan the QR code, head to the mates mode section. Up the N25 is the code. We broke square last week. Hopefully we win this week. We'll go now and
is
find some of
the 60 in there now?
60 in there now.
So you'll get over 100.
Well, maybe. So the important thing is that it closes at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. We are going to bet a little bit on tomorrow night's meet. At Mooney Valley, when we might have been, I think there's a Canterbury.
You're going to have a crack? Well. If you get to 100, you're going to have a crack? What
yeah,
are you going to do?
We always turn over the full amount. We work out, if we have 100, then we have exactly 100,000 worth of bets before the first race goes. Cheer them on. It works well. Everyone has a good day. So that's what we'll do.
I got a beautiful $6 thing in Brisbane. How much are we going to put on that?
Well, 10? I think 8, but if you want me to, I think 8,000 was maybe 10. I think I was going to bet to win 40,000 and a max bet of 10.
Okay.
So I probably have to have 8 on it, but maybe I'll have 10 if you're very confident.
Very confident.
All the people in the pack want me to bet up and go hard. But
yeah, beautiful.
And we're also doing a Saturday session. Did you know that, Fizz? I need you in here for a couple of races on Saturday.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, the session was good on Saturday.
It was good. You handled all right. You come in.
It was good. It timed actually really well with what I was doing.
Good to have all the boys from the den in as well.
Yeah,
great to see all the lads from the den. Yeah, it was really good to have a few guys in here and everyone was cheering and doing their best. It was good.
Yep. Good day. So we'll be doing that again. It'll drop on YouTube about 6:30, 7 o'clock. Time for your Saturday set, please.
You're talking about my official Saturday set?
I guess we can find out what this thing in Brisbane you're talking about.
Well, yes, that'll come last. But first we're going to Randwick Race 7, number 1, Rivellino.
Mm-hmm.
And one word here is class, coming out of a Golden Rose, then going to a Caulfield Guineas.
Chrissy Lees.
1,600, last run in the Guineas. Showed a bit more early pace, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Racing against horses that are coming out of listed races, and we've seen some big goes on Saturdays of horses that have a class edge, and it'll be one of them on Saturday, I think, barrier 1 as well. Let's stay in Sydney, and I'm going to race 10, a bit of value here. Number 3, NCAP, which is another class horse coming out of an Epsom.
Yep.
Fourth up. It's about 20 to 1. And also number 10, Soul Coats, who's a Wyong Cup winner, but can sprint, plenty of abilities around that $15 mark, which I think is good value. And my best bet of the day is up in Brizzy, race 5, number 7, Free Carry. I've already charged into $6. I've charged into $5.50. I think there's still $4.80 or $5 around now, which I think is a great price. Goes straight to the front, massive weight drop, no pressure in the race, fit and very strong at 1,600 metres. And those are my four official Saturday set tips.
Very good. Fizz. Nice.
Yeah, I got one on Friday night. Here we go. Race 5, number 11 at Moonee Valley. It's called Fiordello. This horse comes over from Adelaide. They've been trying to teach it to settle in its last two barrier trials and loved its last trial. It's got to run in the 9.55 metre race. And this could be my officially last bet on a Friday night if this one doesn't lob. It's 2.10 and honestly, it's lengths above these if it turns
straight
up
to the front.
Well, it has in the past gone forward, but they're trying to teach it to settle. So I'm wondering on what their tactics are going into a 9.55 metre race at Moonee Valley. It's got great gate speed, but I really like the last trial when it settled behind them and just cruised past the other horses in the straight. So look, quite keen on it on Friday night. And then I'm going to Moonee Valley on Saturday. We've got to race 2, number 1, Prince Tycoon, first up. D Lane, I think it'll just plonk straight in the 1-1, be too good for him. I thought the danger was the Waller runner from Sydney, but J-Mac's going to have to navigate a terrible barrier, and I think there's way more value in this, and I think they'll swap over in favouritism by jump time. And then I'm going to Moonee Valley 9-1. We've talked about Observer, and then I've got two in Perth. Ascot Race 5, number 9, Flying Frankie. Pike jumps on this runner. They put up 350 this morning. Ladbrokes were not up yet, so maybe they'll put up bigger for me when I get back out there. But I'm quite keen on this horse's chances, like the way it hit the line last start. Race 7, Ascot, number 4, Antique Star. I was hoping for a jockey change. I didn't get that, but we're getting $5 about Antique Star, and I think if they put Johnson Porter on, we would have been getting $2.50. That's how confident I am about this one. And then we'll go to Morpheville for one bet. Race 5, number 1, Battle of the Ice. Great trial. It's had one start for one win. Heads over to Adelaide from Victoria, and I like its chances this weekend to do the job for us.
Fantastic. Plenty to work with.
Plenty to work with.
I need it to start Friday night.
Yes.
And you I'd need to, love not, all yeah, six of them yeah. to lob. Beautiful. I know I'm asking a lot, but why not?
You're due.
Good.
Overdue.
Good to see your focus. Now, boys, we lost So You Think earlier in the week. He was a beast, wasn't he, So You Think?
Love So You Think.
And I've got sure some was. Stuff to sign off with, but before we do that, King Zone, people love hearing your betting stories, especially when you lose because they can relate to that. And we tell the story about Black Caviar when we went to Ascot and you unloaded on it. And it was, but didn't we go to Ascot as well and you unloaded on So You Think and it didn't go so well?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's funny. I didn't know you were going to say that. Yeah, we're all in a syndicate. And I think we had 200. I think I can't remember. There's probably about four or five of us in. And we had 200,000 on So You Think and it got rolled. It was in a race at Ascot. And I think it went to the front. And another horse came down outside. Two's on.
It was two's on.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was so-called free money.
Pays for the trip.
Yeah, yeah, another one of my bright ideas. And we had 200 on. Anyway, we all had to reload. We didn't get out, by the way.
Wow.
It was just one of those sick days where you just get further and further in.
And some of the boys never recovered, right?
No.
There was casualties.
Yeah, there was casualties all over the place. But, yeah, those are the days you remember, the good ones and also the bad ones. Yeah. But thanks for bringing back that nightmare for me.
So I'm going to sign off with the two Cox Plate wins of So You Think, 2009, 2010. He won as a three-year-old in 2009, won as a four-year-old in 2010, both dominant wins. And then also a beautiful piece of content dropped this morning by the Moonee Valley Race Club, just a little short five-minute piece on Winx, her four Cox Plate wins. So I'm going to leave you with all of that. I hope you watch it all because it'll get you very fired up for the Cox Plate. What a weekend it's going to be. Thank you for the support. Up the Den. See you soon.
Power, Rock Kingdom and Who've You Got You pulls out to start his move. It's So You Think narrowly from Manhattan Rain, Scenic Shot, Zipping's under the whip, Heart of Dreams starting to come home. Who've You Got You's running on strongly and then came Road to Rock around the turn. So You Think it's about a half in front of Manhattan Rain and the three-year-olds lead by two or three. Who've You Got You running on with Heart of Dreams. So You Think led by two lengths. He shook off Manhattan Rain. Who've You Got You and El Segundo charging home and it's all over. So You Think is going to go all the way. He's racing clear and So You Think has bolted in the Cox Plate. Manhattan Rain ran second. The three-year-olds Quinella and Zipping came back. I think he might have got third from El Segundo. That's a photo. Scenic best of all. More Joyous the leader. The Spark's about to fly in the Cox Plate now. Zipping's pulled out. So You Think went up and levelled with More Joyous up the side. He's taken the lead at the 600. So You Think by a neck to More Joyous. Zipping right there third, but under extreme pressure. Then Arvienis followed by Shootout. Captain Sonador, Hubie Got You still a long way back. Around the turn, So You Think by a length. More Joyous is trying her heart out, but she can't go with him. Then came Zipping, Arvienis, Shootout, Hubie Got You. So You Think with a big lead around the turn. Three in front from More Joyous. Zipping, Hubie Got You flashing home on the outside. But So You Think is three in front. Hubie Got You ran to second from Zipping. But So You Think wins his second. So You Think first. A length and a half. Zipping came back. He grabbed second and a half head in front of Hubie Got You. Shootout four. Then came More Joyous, Arvienis, Captain Sonador, trusting Wall Street, and Lunyet Forever is last. At his 10th start, he wins.
In 2011, Vegas Showgirl had a filly who would have thought she would have become the world's best racehorse.
The Cox Plate was always on the radar for our family.
You don't really expect to win these big Grand Slam races.
The first one was... We came here with anticipation, but no expectations.
Hanging on to an entire grandstand for one roar, it's pretty special.
We went there just to be proud and hope she'd run up to her best.
Winks kept going by Hugh Bowman. What a win! Winks has bolted in the Cox Plate by four lengths to Criterion. Hard on Real ran third.
You only need to win one Cox Plate to be remembered forever. So that's how I saw Winks that day. She'll be remembered forever for this great performance.
They're set and they're racing. And Winks jumps well.
The second year was a great build-up with Hartnell.
But the two champs go together at the 600 metres. Hartnell's hit the front, Winks is going with him, and they've turned it on. The great race is on here.
When they set off together at the 800 metre mark, it looked like the classic race. So I just took a deep breath and knew it would be on.
But this is a blitz. It's a Winks blitz. Two in a row, and she joins the all-time greats of the turf. Winks has won it by six lengths to Hartnell. Yankee Rose third.
Again, another special Cox Plate moment where she showed her dominance, not just beating a good field, but Hartnell was a serious, serious racehorse. And that was Winks. She could pull out some exceptional performances in the grand final of each preparation.
Winks is a little bit edgy. She's a little bit edgy there in barrier number five.
We were lucky enough to come back for the third.
Humidor to the outside. It's Winks in front by a length. Humidor on the outside is trying hard.
Watching the first two Cox Plates and how she surged away at the 400 metre mark, we thought when that run had started, she would make the same impression. But yeah, he just stuck with her like glue.
Humidor's coming at her. Winks is holding on. The great bear completes the great trilogy of the turn.
Hugh was still adamant that she had a bit there, left there, and she found the last bit, but by crikey she needed to, and it was an amazing and a reminder not to take things too cheaply and how it is hard to win races.
There's Winks going into barrier six.
When we decided not to go to Ascot to continue on and do the fourth Cox Plate, that was very, very scary in the fact that she was going for four. No horse had ever done it.
Winks standing okay. D'Argento a little bit edgy. They're ready, racing. And Winks from barrier number six began beautifully.
I felt overwhelmed that day. I still disbelieve that we were lucky enough for that to happen.
Winks is staving off Ben Battle. Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Greatness, Winks has done it. It's FY Utopia.
I'm so proud of her and what she achieved doing it and the people she inspired.
So one's good, two's very good, three's outstanding, four, it's just that you can't put words to that type of performance.
And she's in the winner's circle once again. Four-time Ladbrokes Cox Plate winner, ladies and gentlemen, Winks, Hugh Bowman and Chris Waller. What a team.
She just elevated me like no other horse has done, and yeah, she's a sporting icon and deservedly so.
And what an amazing performance for Chris Waller and all of his team to keep this mare up, dominating racing here in Australia for 4 years in succession.
Tom Magner rang me up one afternoon and said to me that Winks was in could be in the mix of coming here at Coolmore. There was a couple other farms that wanted her to retire there. And then he rang me back and said the Wenk's owners have decided to send her back where she foaled.
She's in probably horse heaven, really. She's on, you know, one of the greatest farms in Australia. She's got everything that you could hope to need if you're a retired horse.
Hi. I'm Hugh.
I'm Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Lovely to meet you.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Sure, well.
She just loves life here at Coolmore.
What's this horse called?
Wenk.
She's been a race.
Yeah.
One or two?
33.
In a row?
Yeah, in a row. Got
it. And she won 37 in total.
Yeah.
Each decade has great immortals that people can relate to that did amazing things, but I think Wenk will be remembered by others for her longevity and elite status for so long.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.